Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Have your way. Father, Lord, I just pray today as we celebrate what it is that you have done over the past 13 years, as we recount of your marvelous works and your wonderful deeds, I pray, Lord God, that you would speak, Lord. You would bring to remembrance, people here, what it is that you have done. And you would also encourage us, Lord God, and inspire us, Lord, for the future, for the next 13 years and even more. Father, I pray that you would speak through me, Father. Just have your way. Speak through me, Lord God. Let people's hearts be open to your word, to your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team. You can sit down. Thank you. Amen. So, earlier on this week, I got a text message from Pastor Kevin saying, oh, can you speak? And I actually thought he was joking. I said, are you joking? I was like, what? Really? And he's like, yeah, can you speak? I'm like, well, it's a great honor and a great privilege to be able to stand behind the pulpit and to be trusted to be stood behind the pulpit to speak to you all. So I couldn't refuse. Hallelujah. Lord is going to grace me to speak. Amen. Today we're speaking about, we're thanking the Lord, we're celebrating, we're appreciating our pastors. And when I was preparing, I was asking the Lord, so what is it you want me to focus on? What is it you want me to speak? And he gave me two things. One, the first thing is, but God. Okay, the two words, but God. Those two words, man, they're powerful, but God. And the second, Pastor Paul touched on it last week, great faith for great things. Amen. And I really believe that those are two things that have carried us through this past 13 years. And those are the two things that we need to continue holding on to and believing God for that will carry us for even more, even more. Amen. So I want to thank the church leadership for this honor and the privilege to stand behind it and to trust me to speak before the congregation. I want to thank God. He is so good. He is so faithful. And if you guys know the week that I've had, you would know that he's so good and faithful for me to be standing here speaking right now. But I'll speak about that in a bit. So I thank God and I thank the pastoral team. So as I said, but God, right? But God. There's a theologian called James Montgomery Boyce, and he said, may I put it quite simply, if you understand those two words, but God, they will save your soul. If you live by them, recall them daily, they will transform your life completely. The substance behind those two words, but God, like I said, is what has shaped our ministry and what will continue to shape our ministry. It's the way that our pastors have lived their lives and us being members of this church, you know, are learning how to live our lives by. And if you look throughout the Bible, you will see so many references to those two words. So I was praying and I just kept on saying, but God, but God. And so I thought, okay, let me look through the Bible, Google it, what comes up. And there was so much. I was like, wow, I didn't realize it was in the Bible that much. I'm just going to speak out a few of those scriptures. First one, Genesis 50:20. We all know this. But as for you, this is what Joseph was saying. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it did this day to save many people alive. Then we read in Psalm 73:26, my flesh and my heart may fail me, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Amen. Oh, and then this scripture, we all got to know this scripture, right? This is like our church foundation scripture, one of our church foundation, VO Manchester. But as it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. I'm going to come back to that in a bit, but that is so key. Another scripture, Genesis 8:1, you know, God had said that he was going to basically flood the land, you know, and destroy everybody. But, you know, God being so merciful and loving and kind, in Genesis 8:1 it says, but God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth and the waters receded. So that's just a few. Seriously, there are so many. But they all speak of the gracious hand of God upon his people. They speak of the fact that God has an amazing plan of salvation for us all. They speak of his mercy, his loving compassion, his faithfulness despite ourselves, despite our weakness, despite our mistakes. They speak of his loving faithfulness towards us. They speak about how God is in control. You know, so when we're going through it and things look like, oh my gosh, what is happening? But God, he knows. He's in control. Before it even happened, he's already seen what's going to happen. He's already made a plan for you to go through it and to come through the other end. But God. So that phrase, but God, is there to motivate us towards great faith. With the assurance that, yes, our God is faithful. Yes, he is in control. Man may be saying this, I may be seeing this, but God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So those are two things, like I said, that have shaped our ministry. And I just want to bring to our remembrance, for those of you who might not know, like as a church, those but God moments, those moments of where we've had to be motivated for great faith, for great things. And like what Pastor Colin said, that I've, you know, literally the first day that Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky came to Manchester, Toyin had invited me and said, oh, we got new pastors, do you want to come? And I was really looking, searching for a church. So I was like, okay, I'll come. And that Sunday, I was like, this is my church, you know, this is my church. So I've been there right from the beginning. So I've seen a lot. Hallelujah. And I've seen, but God, hallelujah, amen. From the days of being at Sugden Sports Center, hallelujah. We're in a sports center with about 20 to 30 people, if you include the children. And we were having to meet during the week at the Vision Center, some house in Openshaw, where we did all of our church events and things like that. And, you know, it seemed okay for, you know, at that time. You know, but God gave a word to Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky. You know, we got to expand. We got to move. And they moved in faith. We went to Novotel Hotel. And that was like, oh, that's really cool. We got in a hotel now. Took about 70 people and we maxed it. But it was like, you know, it's feeling good. It's feeling nice. But God, I'm like, no, I've got more. So from Novotel, we moved to the Palace Hotel. Who knows the Palace Hotel? It's pretty good looking, isn't it? Yeah, it's pretty plush and everything. It was like it was perfect. Took about maybe 200 people maybe. And we didn't have to do anything. We just go there and worship. And they tidy up after us. And then we go back. It was really cool, you know. And the church was growing. But, you know, Pastor Paul, you know, he knew that, no, we needed our own building. So during the week, we can come and we can worship God. And we can really grow and build as a church. And we're not based around the schedule of the hotel. No, we can dictate what we're going to do. So he came across this building, went out in faith, like literally out in faith. We're going to get this building. We got it. Hallelujah. And that means that the tithes and offering, you know, we got to pray that the money's going to come in. Because compared to the Palace Hotel, what we were paying for here, it was like, I don't even know the full details, but I know it was a huge jump. A huge jump to change the building, to make it fit for purpose for a church. A huge jump to pay the rent and everything like that. But God spoke a word to Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky. Believe we moved here in 2008. We're still here, hallelujah, by his grace. You know, and there have been moments, you speak to Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky, Pastor Kevin, where it's like, where are we going to pay the rent? How is it going to happen? How are we going to do this? And some of you may even know, when we moved to this building, we lost a lot of people. Some people, because Palace Hotel looks great, it's easy to get to. You know, I don't want to go all the way up to Salford. Where's Salford, you know? And especially if you're a student, Salford is like outside of Manchester. Where's that? So we lost a lot of people. And just after, you know, so moving, we lost people. And so financially, how are we going to cover this? But also there was a shaking in the church. And that happens, you know, it happens. There are times of... Yes, sifting, that is it. There are times of sifting. It happens where God brings the church to the threshold and then the wheat and the chaff get separated. And yeah, it feels funny and whatever, but it happens. It's life. It purifies the church. That's what it does. So we had a shaking time and a lot of people left. And it was hard for Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky, you know, during that time. But God, hallelujah, they're still here, they're still standing by God's grace. I mean, and we look at our church now, we got a men's home that's standing, we got a women's home, we didn't have one all of those years ago, the only women's home in Europe, Theo Manchester. Why? But God. Our pastors had great faith to believe and to see. And they sowed in prayer and in faith. And look at what they're seeing right now. Let's take it even to their personal lives. I can't give their personal testimony. I don't have the liberty to do that. But for the little things that they do say that we all know, I'll remind you of that. They came up here with one car, right? Their Ford Focus, which was so cute. And all of their belongings into live into Longford House, right? And actually, the original plan was to be here for 1 year, I believe. And look at this, 13 years later. Amen. And now they are so blessed. They have their own house. They've been blessed with two cars, blessed with children. And that is because of God's faithfulness throughout that time. They came and they let go. So, okay, God, we're going to put those things behind. We're going to do what you want us to do. We don't know how it's going to work out. 13 years later, he's provided and he's kept them. He's kept them throughout this time. There was a season where it was as well, where they were asked to move down to London, you know, and it made sense. It made sense to move down to London. But God spoke something to them. He spoke a word. And they stood upon that word, even though it didn't really make sense. Manchester, London. Come on, think about it. Manchester, London. Even though it didn't make sense. But they stood upon the word. They stood upon what the Spirit of God had revealed unto them. As that first scripture said, you know, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, but the Spirit of God has revealed. Spirit of God revealed something to them. And they stood upon that. And look at what the Lord has done. Look at what the Lord has done. And then obviously we can't forget the cancer, you know, the horrible incident of Sister Vicky having cancer. Doctors saying this, people saying that, she's going to lose her leg. Maybe she'll even lose her life. All of these things, you know, and that was a hard and a trying time. But God spoke to Sister Vicky. God spoke to Pastor Paul. And through that, they stood upon that word. And look at them now. Hallelujah. A testimony of God's faithfulness and his healing power. But you know what? We are a church and we're all in this together. And what is the church? The church are the people. Yeah? So yeah, we're celebrating what God has done in our church, Victory Outreach Manchester. We're appreciating our pastors. We are the church. So we're celebrating what he's done in our lives as well during this time. And I don't know about you, but when I think what the Lord has done over the past 13 years, I have seen but God moments. No, seriously, I have seen but God moments. And I don't have much time. I'm supposed to be speaking. I'm just going to... I said that, God, if you do this, I'm going to testify. So when Pastor Kevin texted me and said, can you speak? Literally, God had just done it like a few days before. So I was like, wow. It's like, you just opened the door for me to testify, right? But I've had but God moments. But one but God moment is that 7 years ago, God spoke to me and said, Jemima, I want you to do a PhD. And I'm telling you, actually, no, it's more than 7 years because I was running away from it. I didn't want to do a PhD. I'm not an academic person. I was like, no, I want a job and I want money. I've been a student for long enough, okay? So, no. And I tried to run away from it, took a year out, but it was like it was constant. I couldn't even apply for graduate jobs because it was a constant, like, no, Jemima, I want you to go to uni. That's where I want you to be. So I enrolled to uni, and I actually even got rejected the first time round. And I was like, okay, but I came back to God. He was like, no, you're supposed to be in there. So I pushed for it, and I spoke to one of these, a lecturer before who had lectured me in one of course, and I spoke to him about it, and he said, don't worry, let me see what I can do. He opened the way, and he said, I'll supervise it for you, your PhD, so that you can come in. So, and he's been my supervisor this whole time. So through that alone, that was like, wow, God, you opened the door. You must want me to be here. Okay, I had no money, a student. It's 5K a year to do a PhD, right? So because I was doing it part-time, 2.5K a year. Where's that coming from? I don't know. So I had a job at the time, and I was like, okay, somehow I'll make it happen, work really hard, work 4 days a week and study around it. But God was like, no, Jemima, I want you in uni. You need to get a job in uni, and you know, and trust me, even though it's, you know, it's not going to be reliable and all of that, just trust me in that. So I did that, cut a long story short, jumping from different teaching sort of things to try and make money. Me and Chris just living like students, basically. It's just been really, really hard. And this year, you know, I've come towards the end of my PhD. So I've practically submitted, and I'm due to have my exam in a couple of months. I don't even know how the Lord has done it. He's just been so faithful. But I left my job at that time, and I really thought, this is mad. But I left it and thinking, you know what, God, if you said it, you're going to provide. So like 5 years after leaving that job, God has given me a new job. I've not even graduated from my PhD, but I got a job earlier on this week as a senior tutor in the university. And I end up getting like a third more than what I got in that last job. That is how faithful, despite everything that just looked like, no, that's not going to happen. When you get a word from the Lord and you stand upon that, then there are but God moments. Moments that seem ridiculous to man. Seem like you're being foolish. Seem like, what is wrong with you? But if you stand upon his word, our God is faithful. Hallelujah. And I just want to quickly look towards the future, right? So what do we learn about this for the future? We learn, we're now in a spacious place. That's our new word, our new scripture. We're in a spacious place. Can you feel it? Feels a bit uncomfortable at times. There's enemies in the land as well that you need to come and fight against. And it's just really interesting, difficult. It's like it's good, but then it's not bad kind of place. But that's the spacious land. That's the promised place. And there are enemies that we do need to conquer in this place. But in the last 13 years, what we've learned is, yes, but God and great faith. So if we return to that scripture, I'm going to just return to, I don't want to, yeah. So our scriptures, which have been, where have you gone? There you are. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 10, and Ephesians 3, 20 is another one of our church scriptures. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. And then Ephesians 3, 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power that is at work within us. That's what God wants to do in the spacious place. Hallelujah. Even more than we can imagine. But in this spacious place and living a life of knowing that but God moments and great faith, we need to know that God wants to do even more than we can imagine, that can far exceed our prayers and imagination, and that the Spirit of God does reveal and prepare us. So what I really did want to say before I finish is that in this time, there is a real call for intercessors, all right? So we've been... God has graced us and he's shown us those but God moments and that great faith. And the Spirit of God has revealed things so that we can move forward with great faith. And the Spirit of God is still revealing things, but it's through prayer and seeking God that has enabled us to see those things and to move forward in those things. And there is a call in this time, if we're going to move forward into the next 13 years, a call towards intercession. And I believe this call is not even just for anybody. You'll know if the Lord has placed this upon your heart. But our pastors need prayer and covering like never before. Because it's only Spirit of God that can reveal where we're going to go to and how we get there. You know, and they're human beings. But God, hallelujah. But God, hallelujah. So we need, you know, if you feel that impression, it's not about a title. No one even needs to know. But there is a call, because the Lord has really laid it on my heart to pray. Because no eye has seen where we're going to. God wants to do immeasurably more. What is it you're believing? What is it that you're believing? He's done this so far, but he's got even more in this spacious place. But it's prayer. It is prayer. It's getting down on our knees, seeking the Lord, and living that life of great faith and expectation. You know what? That's a life of great faith. Do you know what that is? That's the life of somebody, when God speaks a word, you're pregnant. And you know you're pregnant. And you see it growing. And you prepare everything in your house and in your life in preparation for the delivery of that child. That's the promise of God. That is the word of God. If he's spoken something and he's speaking over our church, then we are pregnant with the word of God. Then we live our lives and we prepare and we put things in place in preparation to see that word come to pass. Hallelujah. So we're in a season, we're in a time of intercession for even greater things and to continue moving forward in but God. In that but God faith and in great faith for great things. My time is up, so I'm just going to pray. Father, Lord God, I just thank you. I thank you for what it is that you have done over these past 13 years. And I thank you, Father, because you want to do even immeasurably more than we can dare ask, dream, or imagine. This is just the beginning. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. And for those out there in the church, Lord God, who you've called to intercede and pray and seek your face, Lord, let them receive that calling and that mantle and that grace to do so with the right heart, a heart of love and compassion, Lord God. We thank you for what you've done and we thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon. Yeah.